CliffCentral.com. We have been busy for the longest time with the best season yet of Decrypto. We did the first season of Decrypto, which was really experimental, and we decided in season two to give you much more practical information. We've done 14 episodes, and you've learned probably if you've been listening to all of them, and if you haven't, you have a chance to go back and start again. You can listen to 14 episodes that will give you all the wonders of cryptocurrency, from the technical intricacies to the security. And Luno, who made it safe and easy to buy, store, and learn about cryptocurrencies, have been leading the conversation around this in our series of Decrypto Season 2. We're pretty certain, you could probably be certain too, that you have a few questions around a few of these things. And if you want to get them answered, today is your lucky day. So first of all, Marius is here. Marius is the GM, Marius Rates, of Luno Africa. Nice to see you, man. How are you?
Gareth, good evening yourself.
Excellent, excellent. Well done on another season of Decrypto, and congrats on all the expansion that's going on at Luno. You guys seem to be really busy.
Thanks, man. Yeah, amazing. Interesting times. We're gearing up for a very exciting year at Luno. Well, it's already March, but we've been growing over the past couple of months. Very excited for the rest of this year. I think that's saying that the industry moves faster than what skeptics believe, but slower than what early adopters would hope for. I think that's very true.
That's exactly right. Now, I've got to ask you one or two things off the bat, because I've got some questions too, and you've answered a lot of them during the season of Decrypto. But one of the first things, I woke up this morning and I keep getting your notifications telling me that Ethereum has dropped below 3,500 Rand and Bitcoin has dropped below this. Now, what is this sudden move all about? Because just a couple of weeks ago, we were at new highs. Well, certainly for the last year and a half.
Okay, so short answer, I don't know for sure.
Is it maybe linked to this Corona stuff? Because there is a panic in the markets at the moment.
Look, I think so. I think historically, cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin have been uncorrelated to traditional assets, for most part. But I think up until recently, beginning of this year, the US-Iran crisis, cryptocurrency increase where the stock prices decreased, for example. So right. There we saw that level of uncorrelation. But as we moved into the Corona frenzy, I think what we're seeing is that traditional investors, or investors investing into traditional assets, they're de-risking completely. So they're not even leaving any exposure in any riskier assets. So I think that is the explanation for the Bitcoin price dropping at the same time as the stock market. So.
You're not thinking of maybe listing toilet paper as a kind of cryptocurrency just so we can get an up on the price?
Well, toilet paper or pasta even. In Australia, that they're buying pasta and toilet papers, stocking up.
I didn't know it was pasta as well.
Oh, wow. Oh, gosh. Okay, so let's get to a couple of the questions. We've had some listeners mail us over the last 2 or 3 weeks with questions that they obviously have specific answers they need for. Some of these are things that'll be easy to answer on. Others will maybe take a little bit more of an explanation. First one, are profits on cryptocurrency taxable?
Gareth, that's one of the most frequently asked questions we get at events, at conferences. Short answer, yes. SARS made it clear that the existing tax rules apply to cryptocurrency. So if you incur any gains, if you make any gains or incur any losses, that is taxable. So maybe just to sum it up, depending on how you buy or sell cryptocurrency, if you're an investor, you see cryptocurrency as a long-term investment, similar to how you would buy shares, then the sale or the gain or losses will incur capital gains. So obviously, if you incur losses, then you can also offset that loss against a future gain. But if you buy cryptocurrency or if you sell it as revenue, so for example, if you're a trader, then any revenue will be included in your gross income. But then also, if you incur any losses in the proceeds of trading, for example, electricity or whatever, then that can be deducted, right? So I think just important also that...
So you treat it like any other asset, really?
Any other asset. SARS sees it as an intangible asset, and the same tax rules apply. But yes, I think best will be, obviously, if you consult your tax advisor. I'm not sure if they'll be able to advise you, but at least to figure out your intent.
If you
right?
have an old accountant who your granddad used to use, he's probably not so sure about crypto. But if you tell him to treat it just like any other asset, he'll know. Sure. Okay.
Sorry. I just want to add there. SARS included a specific section for cryptocurrency on their tax returns. Right. So if you own a cryptocurrency at year end, you can now put that number in there on the tax sheets in. So they made it a little bit easier for people to declare their cryptocurrency assets.
Okay. Yeah. So there we go. Now SARS are onto it, finally. Is this new for this year?
Yeah, for the previous financial year. So, okay. Yeah.
That's interesting. We've kind of answered this, but do you foresee any fallout on the crypto market from coronavirus? Because it used to be, as you said, that there was no correlation between the stock markets and crypto. And in fact, people would often invest in one and then not invest in the other, or divest from the other. You've just said now that there was a little bit of a correlation now, because that any risk at all is to be taken out by financial advisors. But do you think that long term this is going to affect crypto any worse than it would any other asset class?
No, I don't think so. On the correlation, I think the correlation is sitting at 0.2 currently, which is a weak correlation. It's not a strong correlation in any case. So I think, like Luna, we have a long-term view. We take a long-term view. If you take a step back and you look at the Bitcoin price over the past, let's say 5 years, because that is the recent history, you will see that it's gone up over the long term. So mm-hmm. so these are all just short term price fluctuations. It's very difficult to predict the short term movement of the Bitcoin price. And if anyone tells you that they can double your profits or the price will move up, then they're probably lying. But
beware,
but,
yeah.
But I think the important part here is that, again, and we say this over and over again, don't put money into cryptocurrency that you can't afford to lose, and that is still the rule that we go by. Right. So, and that is so that you can weather these price fluctuations. And then also, I think one of the methods that people follow when investing is something called dollar cost averaging, right? So, on a monthly basis, buy a little bit of crypto. Over time, your average cost your cost price will be averaged over, let's say, 12 or 24 month period, and that way you weather all these short-term price movements and price fluctuations.
Now, a lot of people want to know this because there are about 10 questions on this one, but is Luna planning on adding any new currencies to their platform? And have any currencies that you were going to add fallen out? Because we know that can be very volatile out there, and a lot of the smaller currencies, huge fluctuations, they'll suddenly become something interesting and then they'll disappear as quickly.
Yeah. So we are cryptocurrency agnostic at Luna. We believe that we will live in a multi-currency world in the future. And I think for that reason, we've continued to do research. And one of the important things that we look at is customer demand, right? So customer demand is one. Another thing is the team and these skills, the team behind all these cryptocurrencies or the various teams. We look at things like utility. So what use case would that coin solve? We look at market traction. So is it easy for you, once you own that coin, to sell that coin to someone else, for example, right? So all these things. And over the past couple of months and past year, we've done research. We took a lot of different coins through our own internal criteria. And last week, 2 weeks ago, we added XRP, which is a new, it's a payments token. And we will continue to do so. And our customer... Our customer results showed that XRP was by a long mile the most requested coin. So over the next couple of months, we will continue to do that, run all these coins through our internal criteria, and then take it from there.
I should have just gone onto your app, because you've got the news story right there. This is 2nd of March, so it was last week. The latest coin edition, XRP, is now part of the Lunaverse.
Yeah, so now we offer Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, and XRP.
Awesome. Well, if you go on there, and I've got to tell you, your app is a pleasure to work with, because it just seems like it's always updating. You know exactly what's going on. You can set notifications to let you know if something drops below a certain number or goes above a certain number. So it's a really interesting app to have. Even if you don't own any crypto yet, you might want to later on. Maybe you just want to observe for now. It's worth doing that. All right, some more questions. Please explain Luno's fee structure, i.e. does Luno take a fee or percentage for buying Bitcoin every time? Do you also take a fee when selling?
Gareth, high level, we take a fee when you go from rands to crypto and from crypto to rands. We don't charge any monthly fees. It's free to download, install the app, and operate the app. We don't charge fees for storing your cryptocurrency on Luna. That is one of the things we do. You can keep your cryptocurrency on Luna, and we safeguard that for you. The only time we charge a fee is when you take your rands and you buy Bitcoin, or you sell your Bitcoin and you go back into rands, and the fees there will vary between 0% and 1% depending on how you use Luna. Right?
Oh, it's so, a maximum 1%.
Yeah, so if you buy on the exchange, it's slightly complicated.
You get people who complain about 1%.
Yes, you do.
I mean, these are people who wouldn't complain if the bank, for example, charges you way more than that for just withdrawing money at an ATM.
Yeah, and also
somehow they have a problem with your 1%.
And also, if you send if you send rands cross border, you pay 2.5 whatever percent forex fees, right? So, but still, some people trade crypto, and if you're a high frequency trader, you trade a lot of coins, then that fee can tally up. So we are constantly looking at better ways of structuring our fees, so that is our level. You only pay when you convert from rands to Bitcoin and vice versa.
Does Luna allow buying and selling more than one time a day?
Yes. We have certain customers, high-frequency traders, people using computers to trade on their behalf, essentially. And they place thousands of trades per day. So you can, definitely.
Okay, yeah. There's no limit. Is there any potential to lose access to your crypto if you forget your password or if your device is stolen?
Not if you lose your password to your Luna account or if your cell phone is stolen, but if you lose your private key, then your cryptocurrency will be stolen, right? So the private key is the important ingredient, it's the important part. So whenever you want to send cryptocurrency from your account elsewhere, you need that private key to unlock those coins.
Right.
And that is why we safeguard cryptocurrency on behalf of clients. We store the private keys of these clients, and I think it makes it easy for first-time buyers and first-time investors. That way, it's slightly complicated. People store their cryptocurrency on. I mean, you can even write that private key on a piece of paper and put it in a safe, or you can store it on a memory stick. If you lose that piece of paper memory stick, then your cryptocurrency will be gone forever. But if you lose your password, to your Luna account online, then it can be simply reset by...
Yeah, I've done that before, so I've had to go on and email somebody and then they sort it out for you.
Yeah, so it's similar to how you would reset your password at any other financial institution.
Can I withdraw crypto as cash anywhere?
You can sell crypto on Luna for rands and withdraw your rands back to your bank account. That is what most people do in their cash out. Some cryptocurrency companies issue debit cards, like Coinbase in the US, for example. Mm-hmm. They issue Visa credit cards. And with that card, you can then swipe at any store, whether you buy coffee, whether you buy goods online.
Right.
The cryptocurrency is instantly converted to rands, and the store or the merchant will receive rands. So they won't receive crypto. But on Luna, simply sell your crypto, add a bank account, a bank beneficiary on Luna on your app, and you can then withdraw your rands back to your bank account.
Brilliant. Okay, awesome. Are there any questions? Bulelo, you want to know anything?
But off the back of that, just is the conversion from crypto to my bank account immediate, or is there a turnaround time there?
So we recently announced automated processing of fiat withdrawals, of rand withdrawals. So whenever you request your rand withdrawal, so you first sell your crypto for rands, then you have a rand balance in Luna. That withdrawal is processed instantly, right? So depending on where you bank, if you bank with one of our banks, your money will reflect within 15, 20 minutes in your bank account. I did a withdrawal last Saturday, and literally it took 15, 20 minutes on a Saturday morning for my money to reflect in my bank account. So if you bank with one of our banks, almost instantly. If you bank with any of the other banks, the normal bank processing times will apply. But sometimes the payments clear on the same day still. So, yeah.
Marius, how often do you actually use cryptocurrency to pay for things? You in person.
So interesting. Last December, I had to courier my mountain bike down to the Garden Route, and then I paid in cryptocurrency for that.
Wow.
Yeah. So a lot of online stores, merchants that have Shopify integrations can pay with cryptocurrency. Shopify is one of the e-commerce sites, right?
So you use them, Leanne.
No, well, a lot of my clients do.
Okay.
And yeah, it's a good one. Yeah.
Right. So Shopify and a couple of others, Payfast used to accept or process crypto payments. I think they pulled out recently, but yeah, I mean, I've used it here and there. But I'm an investor, long-term investor. So I don't sell when the price crashes, I just weather the storm and all.
Me too, but it's so painful to see when it's not going your way.
No, especially, no, definitely.
Yeah, when did you buy, though, is the question. Because for some people, if they bought at exactly the right time, then they're still in the green forever. And there are other people who bought when it was at its peak who are stupidly waiting for it to ever get back there. Do you think it ever will? I mean, this is all speculation. Let's just be clear. You're not speaking on behalf of Luno or being Nostradamus for the rest of us, but it would be interesting to hear your thoughts.
No, I do think so. I think if you look at two things, you look at the utility of Bitcoin. So it's a store of value. It can be used as a payment method. We haven't reached a point of critical mass. So we haven't seen those network effects that you see with email, for example, where a lot of people willingly use Bitcoin for payments. I think once we reach that stage, the use together with the scarcity of Bitcoin, because remember, it's capped to 21 million. Only 21 million Bitcoins can ever be in circulation, right? So if you look at those two things, the utility and the relative scarcity, similar to gold, I do think in future, and I can't say next year or 10 years down the line, but I do think that the value will be driven by that.
That's amazing. All right, well, listen, thanks again for coming in to answer our questions this morning. They're probably going to be a lot more. If you do want to get hold of Marius and the team at Luno, you can just go to their website there and have the app on your phone anyway, just to keep track of what's going on. You can always get through on the app too. You have a
live chat on the app. There's a live chat feature, Twitter.
Yes, actually. It's just ask me for my Luno pin. See that? It's very cool. All right, I love it. So go and check the app out, and you can find out if you need to find out any other answer to any questions by actually getting hold of them there and on the website. Thanks, Marius. Nice to see you.
Gareth, thanks. It was amazing to give the listeners a look inside Luno.
Actually went into your offices, and what was cool about this is that we got to ask the people who answer the questions inside of Luno.
Yeah.
Not just the front-facing people.
Yeah. No, so I plead that gave listeners some little bit more comfort that there's actually a company behind the crazy app or the coin. So
that's
thanks,
awesome.
Gareth.
No, thank you so much. If you do want to go and check them out, Luno is on the internet. They're on the App Store. You can find them pretty much anywhere, and it's worth having just a couple of Bitcoin or Ethereum, even if it's a fraction of the actual coin. You don't have to own one. You can own 0.2 or 0.002 of one, and you can watch how your money goes up and down, and you can play around with it so that you're familiar, at very least, with how the cryptocurrency world might end up. It's nothing worse than being left out of a good thing. CliffCentral.com